Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd, waiting for my partner, Sean Wally, to come in from the UK. It is definitely an exciting time. Show number 100. And man, I'm telling you, I'm really excited about that. 100. This is our 100th show of On the Double with the Double S Express. And I don't know, for all the listeners out there, if you've ever achieved or accomplished anything 100 times, it is an amazing, amazing feat. And so for Sean Wally and myself, along with awesome engineer Don Newsom, bringing you the greatest in all of sports talk, that is, man, this is something that is a milestone. And so You heard Kool and the Gang celebration in the background. That's what we've been doing all week long. And we have an action-packed show for you. Three guests on the show. First guest will be Lorenzo Lynch. Lorenzo Lynch, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears, and the Oakland Raiders. Man, I love that one. And then guest number two, course, all of you that have been plugging in to our web pages and on Facebook, Twitter as well, you know that Brian Urlacher will be on the show at the middle, at the bottom half of the hour. And then a favorite of mine, guest number three, will be none other than Nehemiah Wilson, Oakland Raider great, and of course my uncle, and I'm very excited about that. And so three exciting action-packed guests that will be here on the Double. And of course, we're waiting for Sean Wally. And of course, you know, from time to time, there are some difficulties that we have on the show, but we are quite good at making sure that we make the adjustments, because that's what we do. There are some great things that have been happening in all of sports. And of course, you know, the NBA is upon us, and you know, there are some exciting series that are going on. And one right now that I can think of that is a tough, tough contest, game number five, and that is Milwaukee and Chicago. And Milwaukee is trying to stay alive here and actually doing a really good job of that, as they're leading right now 80-77. Of course, there's a lot of action-packed stuff that we will talk about, just keeping you up to date on that NBA action. And of course, Major League Baseball is upon us. And of course, when my partner Sean Wally gets online with us here, we will be talking a little bit about that. And of course, the past couple of weeks, we've been bragging about our teams, the Seattle Mariners and the Oakland A's, and neither one has showed up for the 2015 season just yet. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And again, back to the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets staying alive against the Atlanta Hawks, and that is going to be a great series as well. I can say one thing that I'm excited about as far as the NBA is concerned is that my Golden State Warriors took care of business against the New Orleans Pelicans, and of course it was pretty tough in the beginning, but the Golden State Warriors did what they needed to do, and now they advance to the second round, waiting for the winner of the Portland Trail Blazers, Memphis Grizzlies. And so we're talking a little bit about that, but let's get right into it. So let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines, and we're going to bring in our first guest of the 100th show. That is none other than Lorenzo Lynch. Lorenzo, how you doing today?
Oh, man, beautiful, beautiful. Boy, I just got a chance to hear a little piece you talking about my Golden State Warriors. I'm born and raised right there in that area, baby.
Man, you are one of Oaktown's finest, no doubt about it. And, man, I am excited about the Warriors. I mean, they're year in and year out, these guys put out a decent product. And, of course, to be honest with you, Zoe, I was a little upset when Mark Jackson didn't return at the beginning of the season. But I must digress, man. Yeah. I mean, Steve Kerr is doing a phenomenal job. These guys look like world beaters.
Yes. He's doing a great job. But I'm telling you, you still got to give Mark Jackson some credit because, you know, kind of he built that thing. Kind of like Tony Dungy and Tampa Bay, he built that thing. Right. And then as soon as he left, they bring in Gruden, he win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh man. Now you had to go and bring that up, man. Of course, for all of us Northern California Oakland Raiders fans, we don't want to hear that. But yeah, you're definitely right. And I mean, that can go with, the same as the other team across the bay with the San Francisco 49ers with Mike Singletary actually forming a great defense, man. And of course, the next coach that came in, of course, Jim Harbaugh inheriting such an awesome team, man. So yeah, that goes with the territory. I think that's a part of the business.
Yeah, it's starting to look like that. But I'm excited for the Bay Area, man. I mean, just to hear some of the comments that come out of there, like one of the noisiest stadiums, in the country. I'm like, wow, really? Oakland? I'm so, that makes me feel proud being from there and watching something like that on TV, wishing like, man, I wish I could be sitting in there somewhere.
Man, no doubt about it. Of course, Oracle Arena, that which is nicknamed Roracle Arena because of the noise level that's brought out by the fans. I mean, man, what a crazy place to play in. I mean, you have to think, those are the same fans that show up for the Oakland Raiders games as well. So the black hole that's always noisy and exciting, that has to be that same crew that comes out, that the same fan base. And, man, it's a lot of fun in the Bay.
It's a good time right now, especially with them Raiders. I mean, a good time. You got. I was excited to hear that Oakland, gave the head coach job to a Bay Area product, Jack Del Rio, who I actually we played high school ball about the same time. I think he was at Hayward High. I was at Oakland High. So I used to read about him. Never got an opportunity to meet him, but, how awesome is that, man? And actually play, come back home and coach.
Yeah, you're definitely right. To have Jack Del Rio in the silver and black and bringing back that dominance. And I'm hearing some great things, as far as the coaching staff that he has put together. A lot of the discipline, a lot of the order he is putting together. Uh-huh. New facilities at in Alameda, and making sure that these guys feel good about themselves, and it's an exciting time. I know Reggie McKenzie with the fan base has been taking a little bit of flack as far as maybe some of the free agency moves that he's made in the past haven't been great ones, but he's been hitting home runs as far as these drafts are concerned, and of course the NFL draft coming up on Thursday. Now, are you going to be glued into that?
I probably watch maybe like first round, if that, but I'm not as much. I really think it's I think it's just a little overhyped, but, I'm glad for fans, it's awesome though.
It is.
I'm still mad, man, because I always felt that, that's a dream I always wish I'd have had to get drafted. That was my dream, man. That was my dream, to get drafted in the NFL. But, that's back when we had, was it 12 rounds or 14 rounds, something like that.
Well, let's talk about that, Zoe, because, you played 11 seasons in the NFL to be somebody who wasn't drafted. You made the most out of it. And, of course, you coming out of Sacramento State, which is, a university that I'm so fond of. And to come out of Sacramento State, play professional football, kind of give the listeners an idea on what it was like as far as your regiment, what your focus was, and understanding that, hey, if I'm not going to get drafted, there are some other options. So what was your mindset from college ball to going into the offseason, getting ready to play pro ball?
Well, one of the things that you know, because I wasn't really like, to me, I wasn't really like a big guy. So the only thing I knew that I was going to carry me, I had a good mentor. I actually met a guy that I used to train with named Ben Parks. You know, Ben Parks is out there at the middle of Atherton High School. And I met him through some people working out. And, I mean, we trained. A couple of 49ers used to go there. So I used to always say, well, I'm not the biggest and the strongest and the fastest. So I'm going to have to outwork everybody. So I wanted to make sure that my conditioning was superb. And matter of fact, that's one of the things that caught Coach Dick an eye when I went to training camp there. We was running these hundreds. We was running, you know, down back is one. And, you know, if you know anything about the Midwest, summertime with the humidity, you know, you probably have 99 degrees, but a humidity factor, you know, is making that thing probably 108. Somewhere up there.
Yeah, most definitely.
Everybody was bent over, puking, and I was still standing up, still standing tall. And he looked at me because it seemed like he was trying to run everybody's tongue out, but I was just still standing tall because I came in there in such top-notch shape that he couldn't break me. And he looked at me and like, is this guy crazy? But to make a long story short, I actually signed a free agent with Dallas out of Sacramento State, and I went to Chabot first. Let's get some, you know, shout out to Chabot with Terry Kaganin was my coach back then, but went to Sac State, walked on, no scholarship, left Sac State, had a free agent with Dallas, got cut after what might be a week or two with Tom Landry. Then I went to got a call that next day, left on the plane that night to Chicago. I ended up playing all preseason, and then I got cut the last preseason game. And then they don't get a load of this. They tell me, look, okay, we're gonna give you $1,000, and you don't have to pay us back. We might go on a strike. If we go on strike, you come back and play for us. But if we don't strike, you keep the $1,000. I'm like, okay, yeah, I got a guaranteed student loan I need to pay back anyway. So he gave me the $1,000, and I went back to Sacramento, and I was just saying, I hope they go on strike. Man, my phone rung, they went on strike. I went back, I was captain of the strike team. Of the strike team, and we played three games. You know, our first game, Philadelphia. You know, we had to go to the stadium 3:00 in the morning, lay down because they were shooting at the bus. This all, you know, fight my dream to get in the NFL. And after the strike, we played our three games, and everybody was in a secret location, turning our playbook, getting ready to go home. Well, Kenny Geiger, one of the player personnel for the Chicago at the time, he told me, get your playbook and go back to your room. I said, I'm not going home. He said, no, son, not right now. And what I found out was each team was keeping five players off the strike team, which they called the taxi squad. So I was one of the five that the Bears actually kept. And from that, I turned it into an 11-year career, man, just hustle and hard work, man. That's why I tell my man, if I can make it the way I did, it's wide open for these kids if they really want it, especially now with the social media. Come on, man.
Man, that is an awesome story. And I know that, you know, you and I sit down and you know, we talked about this years ago. And, you know, I got to tell the listeners that you and I have a strong past, man. We are brothers. And, you know, our kids play together in Pop Warner football. And, you know, just the kindred that you and I have. Of course, you playing with the Raiders and my uncle playing for the Raiders. You know, that just hit it off right then and there. But the drive and the determination that you had to make your dream a reality through the adversity. So you're talking about, you know, the strike that's going on. I remember that time. I remember how hostile it was for you know, for the strike players to actually play. And, you know, it wasn't a fun time. You know, owners were uncertain on how things were going to turn out. And there are people such as yourself that had that vision and had that dream that just stepped up and said, man, this is all or nothing, taking the chance to seize the opportunity. And man, I'm proud of you for that. That's some great stuff.
Hey, dude, crossing the picket line, I was just a young kid. I didn't really know. I was coming out of college, so, I mean, excuse me. I just needed some money, man. I was just coming out of college. I had a daughter. My wife then was having my daughter. So I'm like, I need some money. Who's gonna get her diaper? So, you know, I crossed the picket line. I didn't really have no ties to the, you know, really to the NFL. So when I came back, a lot of players wanted to fight me, you know, as a result of that. But, you know, and then when I hear players like, now this, you know, like now, like Drew Brees, because they getting all, they, a lot of these players now are reaping some reward off of what those players struck for back then. But you get these players today who they really don't get those older cats, you know, even me, they really don't give us the proper respect. Because they don't pay for it. Like, how do you think you're getting all that money, man? There's some people right. who sacrificed way back then who, you know, walked away from the game, a game they love, and could have probably never played again just so these guys today could get the money they're getting today. Then I hear somebody like Drew Brees come out who real say some derogatory comments about the former players. I said, man, how selfish is that, man?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know,
make $1 million, and you know, and your kids are happy, and all your you living good, and it's some people who, you know, sacrifice for you to get that type of money, man. I think you all look at some respect.
Now you're hitting a.
I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to go there, but
no, man. That's what we do here on the double, man. But you're hitting some.
Yeah, I'm glad that I can open up and just. Let it be known, because I am from Oakland. I grew up back, you know, when you stood up and fight for what you want, man. Because ain't nobody gonna give you.
now you're hitting some strong points here, and of course you're talking about the way the players were when you're playing in contrast to now. There are a lot of things going on. There are some things such as, you know, when you open up the. Or when you turn on the television or open up social media, you hear of things such as players with domestic violence, and you hear a lot of, you know, drug use and alcoholism and everything. What kind of advice would you give today's player as far as what they would need to do to focus and to continue to pass on what's good about the NFL to future generations?
Man, the one thing I can say, and then when I don't want to be a hypocrite, because when I played, I bumped my head a couple times too. But if I could go back and tell myself anything, which could, you know, kind of reflect to what's happening today, man, you got to think about your future, though. You know what I mean? You got to think about, okay, first of all, the game not going to last for a long time. You're not going to play forever. So kind of like I tried to give my nephew some advice when he was first, you know, about to be drafted. I said, man, try to take your first season like it was going to be your last season. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, start preparing
right.
now for later. I mean, it was only one player that I met that I knew of who was buying Rolls Royces after he was retired. Usually people turning them back in. And that was Greg Vaughn. I mean, I'm talking about he put together a solid team. He stayed focused. You know, it's almost like when he came into the league, he almost knew how his end was going to look like. And another person I played with did something similar to that. That was Aeneas Williams, you know, who came in, stayed focused. I think he drove his college car all the way to, like, his fifth year in the league.
Yeah,
so
you got to be thinking about
your first year, kind of like how would you want to look on your last year, man. Start preparing now. And then it's so, I mean, a lot of these guys be under attack because, you know, people know that they know that they got the money, and a woman know that, you know, if he say anything, make any aggressive move to her, and, you know, she mad at him, she want to bring some harm to him, he probably, you know, she promised to take her out to dinner, and he didn't go, and she went and saw him with somebody else. So now she want to get back even with him. So, you know, she could say he hit me, or, I mean, it's so many stories that we could talk about. These guys, they got to be sharp now. You got to be smart, man. You know, you don't need to be out with the social media. You almost got to put a wall around you and kind of, you know, like I had an agent used to always tell me, man, you got to walk soft.
Right.
They got to walk soft, man, and kind of, you know, think about your family, man. You got to stay grounded and rooted, man. I think staying grounded and rooted and make the money. Don't let the money make you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? You know, stay true to who you are and don't get up there and try to be something you're not. You know, like all of a sudden, you this football player. Now you get up, you're making all this money. Now all of a sudden, you're a gangster.
Yeah.
You were never no gangster before. Why y'all, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And for all the listeners who don't know, you had mentioned your nephew. That's one of the things that you had taught him in his first year. And of course, we have a strong, strong.
I didn't really teach him. I ain't going to take no credit because I ain't going to take no credit for that. I didn't really teach him nothing. I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't around him growing up a lot. So I just mentioned that one thing to him that tried to, you know, but now that was me, old school me talking, who we weren't making $1 million that these cats making now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So somebody who the first year was making $62,000, you know, what can I tell somebody making $20 million? They don't want to hear nothing I got to say.
For those of the listeners who don't know who he's talking about, he is talking about none other than Marshawn Lynch. And, of course, our listeners in the Pacific Northwest know exactly who Beast Mode is. And, man, I mean, I'm sure you had the chance to go down to the Super Bowl this past year against where the Seahawks played against the New England Patriots.
Wow. I hope that don't hurt that team for the future, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How could that hurt the team going forward? I mean, I know that's something that Sean Wally and myself talk about. We have callers that call in and we kind of, you know, play with a little bit as far as Seattle making a huge mistake. Do you think that was a huge mistake of Marshawn not getting the ball there that last play of the game?
Oh, God, that, you know, it was epic, man. I mean, I don't understand. I almost think they was trying to trick them and end up tricking themselves. Because, I mean, I've seen Seattle. I've seen them do, you know how they do the little fake handoff, and then Wilson could have walked in the end zone. Because everybody, even little kids, everybody knew Marshawn was about to get that ball. Everybody.
Right.
You could have had a 10-year-old kid call that play, right? Or if you thought that everybody knew Marshawn was going to get the ball, that's what I'm saying. Fake it to him. And then Wilson could have, and I've seen them, they had that play. I've seen them do that. Fake it to him, run it in. There's so many other things they could have done, man. I mean, a play like that, when you know that you pretty much had that game wrapped up, see, it's something like that play, something like that could destroy that team. Just destroy it. It kind of be like an omen to them, man. You don't get them.
For Seattle's sake, let's hope that that doesn't happen. But what are some things that – tell me what you're doing these days now. You're down in Texas. Last time you and I talked, you had invited my son to – because you were a scout with the Dallas Cowboys. You said, man, hey, have your son come down here. We're going to invite him to camp. We're going to work him out till he pukes, and then hopefully he'll make it. But man, that's the last we talked, man. So what's going on these days?
Oh, nothing. I never scouted with the Cowboys.
I thought you were you said you were scouting with the Cowboys, is that correct?
No. I probably meant, you know, come down here and train, but no, I never scouted with them. I never scouted with the Cowboys. I had an opportunity to work with the Bills, you know, back in the day scouting, but I kind of didn't want to do that. I mean, once I got done with football, I was pretty much done.
Yeah.
I was pretty much done. And then I started, David, that's how me and you met, because I started a youth football program in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did that, and then we moved down here to Dallas, and once I got down here to Dallas, you know, my sons play football, baseball, so I kind of, you know, in baseball, they travel a lot. So I was with my son, we traveled, you know, select baseball teams, and we here, there, then he, you know, he did some stuff with the baseball factory, then he was in with the Under Armour, and then he was with the, I can't think of it right now, but you know, they travel, they play in these select baseball tournaments in Florida, you know, where all the scouts be at. Perfect game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was wrapped up in that. Now, he off in college, and now my little daughter, she playing volleyball. So, I be busy with that, man. I'm almost like a taxi cab. I drop off and pick up and get them here, get them there. Man, that keep me busy. That's what I enjoy doing, man, being a dad.
Well, man, it sounds like you have definitely unwound yourself from the rigors of professional sports. And, of course, playing 11 years, man, you know, that is a strong testament to you. And, hey, Zoe, thanks for being here on The Double, man, and we look forward to talking down the road. I'm going to stay in contact with you. I promise you I'm going to stay in contact with you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, stay in contact, man. Man, who told you I was scouting?
Man, you know, I thought at the time you were scouting because you had mentioned some things. You were working some guys out, I believe. Maybe a couple of them were with the Cowboys. I'm not sure, but I know you used to man them down in Texas. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, man. I'm just excited of the things that you're doing.
I'm glad we caught up with each other, man.
Yeah,
brother.
So we'll definitely keep in contact, man. Thanks for being here on The Double. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we return, we're going to have guest number two, and that's none other than Brian Urlacher of the Chicago Bears. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
back on Dallas Express. Sean Boyd. Bringing in my co-host from the UK, none other than Mr. Sean Wally. Sean. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd bringing it to you, show number 100. And I have my co-host with me from the UK, none other than Mr. Sean Wally. Sean, how you doing today, man?
Sean. You know, do you like that little trick I played on you? Make you do half the show by yourself and happy show 100. You're doing half of it from the blind, the seat of your pants. Good luck, buddy.
Man, you know, I thought that's what we do. We are professionals in what we do. And children, please don't try this at home. But, you know, man, the show must go on. And had a great guest number one, Lorenzo Lynch. Of course, he's a Northern California native from Oakland, California. And, of course, went to Sacramento State and played in the NFL for 11 seasons. And Sean Wally, you'll love this one. I know that you're probably listening as you're being plugged in. He is the uncle of Marshawn Lynch, a.k.a. Beast Mode, for all the Seattle Seahawks fans up in the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, Lorenzo gave some great gems as far as, you know, what it takes to be an NFL player and being one that was undrafted, by the way. And, man, he spoke some excellent things for those people who have aspirations of getting to the next level.
Well, Sean, I appreciate you handling the curveball very well that I threw you. And I knew that I know that you'd be able to handle any situation that we throw at you, whether it is, something that we plan for or not. And, yeah, definitely I did hear a few minutes of the end of the interview, and it's, that's what we like to do on this show, is bring people in that have the knowledge and the insight to be able to say, hey, this is what I did, this is what I went through, and this is what I try to recommend and tell people what to do nowadays that have the same aspiration, same goals, and they need to realize that it's not easy, it's not simple, and it takes hard work.
You know, coming from an athletic background, I think, you know, and the reason why we interview the professional players, collegiate players, and coaches alike is because of that kindred spirit that I've mentioned before, that like-mindedness. And as you're mentioning, you know, making the adjustments, that's what you have to do. I mean, whether you're a track athlete, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, you name it, at some point things aren't going to go the way that you would think that they would go, and at that point and at that time, you have to make the adjustments to make things better. We see some of that happening in the world of sports, like I was talking about earlier, the adversities of some of the teams in the NBA playoffs now. One of them, the Milwaukee Bucks, they're showing adversity and bringing the series to a deadlock here by beating the Chicago Bulls 94-88. Same thing with the Nets as well. And so if you're an athlete, you know, you have to be able to make those adjustments. I appreciate those kind words from you as far as making those adjustments. But once an athlete, always an athlete. That's what we do.
And Sean, I do have to correct one thing. Don't know how many listeners caught that. You said I am in the UK. That was true Monday morning, but we have since flown not once but twice, and we are now in Berlin for the night, and we'll take off for Poland 10 a.m. on Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness, man. The traveling extraordinaire that you are. Berlin. Wow. So tell me, I mean, here in the Sacramento area today, I hate to throw it in your face, but man, we touched 90 degrees today. So tell me what the weather is like in Berlin right now.
You know, it was not as nice as the United Kingdom. You know, we had sun and blue skies most of the way, and we get to Berlin and it's dreary, gray, some light rain falling, and feels like a fall day versus spring heading into summer here in the next few weeks. But, you know, it is what it is, and we don't get to set the thermostat outside, so we'll roll with the punches.
Now, your schedule, of course, is a little more rigorous than mine. Of course, traveling, and I can't keep up with you. I mentioned that you're in the UK. You're now in Berlin. But all this week, of course, from show 99 to now 100, the centennial, what were you thinking during the week? I mean, were you waiting with anticipated breath? Was this something that you're looking forward to? I mean, what's on your mind right now with show number 100?
Well, obviously, excitement of that number, that milestone, reaching that number, and to think how you and I brainstormed the idea back in 2013, and, you know, actually even before then, because we've always talked sports, loved sports, and wanted to have a forum to do what we've been doing now for 100 shows, and to have it not only get off the ground, come to fruition, and to still be here 100 shows strong, and to be able to be the, as you said, professional to where, hey, it's showtime, and Sean Wally's who knows where on show 100, the biggest show we've had yet. And, you know, you just act like there's nothing wrong, nothing happening incorrectly, because that's what you have to do when the red light's on, the on-air light, for those that don't know, when Don says, hey, it's time to roll, you know, you did that. And it's just awesome to think of all the shows we've had, all the guests we've had, all the people we've been able to meet and get to know as guests because of the show, and to have an outlet for people to let us know what they're doing great, what they're trying to do in the world to make things a better place with charity events. And
oh, we might have lost Sean just briefly. We're going to get him back here in just a second. But, you know, one of the things, you know, that I can recall as far as the idea, the dream, the vision that we had to get things started, you know, those were some precious times. I mean, you and I, you know, as you had mentioned, brainstorming an idea to get a show on the air. I can remember in the beginning, you know, being on the sidelines, whether it's at Candlestick Park in San Francisco or at O.co in Oakland, and of course yourself up at Quest at the time, which is now the Clink. And we would do videos. We would do sideline videos, and, you know, we'd try to get the crowd involved and, you know, kind of give an update and our prognostication on what the outcome of the game would be. And we did a lot of trial and error, man, and that was a lot of fun to get to the point to where we came up with an idea and we stuck with it and we moved forward with it. And that's what it's all about. It's all about that progression. And again, man, I'm excited. Here we are at show 100. And, you know, it's some great things. Some great things are happening. And so, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy at the fact that we have 100. I know that, you know, we're going to have probably 100 more moving forward. And, you know, some great things are happening here on the double. And we appreciate you, the listeners. We appreciate the fans. We appreciate people, you know, our listeners sending in emails and giving us suggestions and, you know, bringing in top-notch guests, because that's what we try to do on the double. And, you know, hopefully we will continue to do that. We're going to take...
Now, Sean, here's a question for you in terms of the last 99 and a half shows. Strictly off the top of your head, do you have a favorite show or two and a favorite guest or two that you can think of that, man, I really like that show, I really like that guest, top notch?
Oh man, you would put me on the spot like that. And you know, I am going to take the politically correct answer, man. Every show is a show that we learn. And as I just mentioned a minute ago, as far as the progression is concerned, each week we get better. And that's what it's supposed to be about. And you know, being on an awesome coaching staff, a football coaching staff. I can remember being a wide receivers coach at Clover Park High School in Lakewood, Washington. And, you know, on one of the staffs I was on under the great tutelage of one head coach, Jim Good. And one of the things that he would say is just make sure that you're all about your progression. And as long as you're getting better week after week, then, you know, some great things will definitely happen. And that's what we're doing. We're progressing at a clip that, you know, I never would have imagined. But at the same time, with the confidence that I have in you and I, that, yeah, we're always going to do this. We're always going to be sharp. And so, you know, I don't have a particular show that I fancy to. But, you know, every guest has brought it when we've had them here on the double. And so, you know, today is no different.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That was great that you took the politically correct route. And, you know, I mean, we've had so many great guests, so many great shows. How do you just pick one? I think, you know, just from a nostalgic standpoint, Chet Buchanan being on twice is really awesome and amazing for me. As you and I know, and we talked about with Chet the two times he's been on, that, you know, being from the Pacific Northwest, and we know the name and the voice from 20, 25 years ago, and to be able to connect with him and the great things he's doing in Vegas, and to come full circle with the Pacific Northwest ties, it's just really, really awesome.
Yeah, you know, and I did. I enjoyed having Chet on, and you know, but again, you know, there are a lot of guests that we've had that, man, I mean, you pick up some awesome tidbits and just, you know, becoming better, and you know, again, that's what it's all about. So I'm having fun, man, definitely with show number 100. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we return, we're going to make another adjustment here. We're going to bring in our next guest here on the double. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you too would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Hey, Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally, show number 100. And as we've been talking, we have this is a huge, huge milestone for us. And without further ado, we're going to go out to the Chandler Reach Winery phone lines, and we are going to bring in our second guest of the show, and that is none other than Mr. Brian Urlacher. Brian, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, guys.
Well, good. Well, thanks for being here on the Double, man. I know that your schedule is busy, and you've done some great things in the NFL, of course. And man, let's get right down to business. I've got a question that I've been meaning to ask you. Now, just the past couple of days, you've been in the media for just want a little bit of justice here with the New England Patriots. What's going on with that in Deflategate?
This guy, TMZ, man. So I was in L.A. doing an opening for our gym out there, me and Glazer, and they asked me a question about the Patriots, and I answered the question. But then I wonder whatever happened to Deflategate. It kind of went away there for some reason, but all these other teams are getting punished for stuff that they allegedly did. But they have proof of the Patriots doing what they did. Nothing ever happened to them. I was just wondering if they had an update for me. That's all.
Yeah.
I know the Patriots fans didn't like that, but I'm a fan now, so I was just wondering what happened.
Oh, my goodness, man. You know, everybody's so touchy these days when you ask a simple question. Mm-hmm. And there you have it, TMZ, the number one as far as smear is concerned, but I'm sure they meant no malice as far as putting that out there. But I just wanted to ask you that question and see if you got your answer yet, which none of us have. So we're still kind of, you know, waiting on pins and needles to see what's going to happen with that decision.
Yeah, I'm me included. I had no idea. They just went away. Like I said, you know, after the Super Bowl, everything just, and the day after the Super Bowl, is when those other teams came out with their information. The NFL came out with their information. So weird how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really weird. Now, Brian, of course, you being retired, and it looks like you've gotten out at a time to where the league and the shield has changed a little bit. And one of our guests that we just had on earlier, Lorenzo Lynch, I talked to him about this. You know, what's your take on where the league is going and the attitude and the characters of some of the players? Is there something else that needs to be done as far as the league is concerned to clean up the brand?
The issue is that anytime someone does something wrong, it gets blown out of proportion. And there's so much right that gets done, but no one talks about that. You know, there's players that do charity work. They do all kinds of stuff. But that gets overshadowed by one guy doing something wrong or two guys doing something wrong. You don't hear about all the guys with all the charity work they do and all that stuff. Anyway, all you ever hear about is the bad stuff going on with guys. You know, that's all over ESPN, that's all over the radio stations. But you don't hear about someone going to a hospital and meeting with kids or delivering presents. That's not fun to talk about. It's not as fun as a guy beating up a girl allegedly or, you know, someone getting a DUI.
Brian Urlacher joining us. And Brian, that's one of the things we like to do on this show is bring the positive and be able to share the things that guys are doing in the community with charity events and being able to have, you know, time to give back to the community. And that's exactly right. People gravitate to the negative, the TMZ, and that's all that news appears to be. And, you know, one bad apple, one bad egg doesn't make the entire bunch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. I mean, an issue, there's been a couple of instances, obviously, with domestic violence going on and all the things off the field. It just that overshadows all the good stuff that guys do. It's too bad that that's the way it is. But you know what? Last year was a tough season for the NFL with the image. But there's so many good guys out there doing good things that just doesn't get mentioned.
What do you think the league can do to try to correct that? Is it harsher penalties, or is it just getting the word out of all the great things that are done by the players?
The penalties are pretty harsh, in my opinion. You know, I just think the consistency with the penalties would be better. It'd be better for the players because then you know what you're facing right away. You know, first of all, don't screw up. You don't have to worry about it. But, that last year was so much changing. There was back and forth with what was going on. They had a commissioner's exempt list, and there's just so many things going on with the different things. Players know what's right and know what's wrong. do what's right. There's a simple solution, in my opinion. Just do what's right. You don't have to worry about it. But the NFL, you know, they do a good job of informing players of what to do, what not to do, how to act, how not to act. It's just, you know, sometimes guys get caught in situations they shouldn't be in.
Brian Urlacher joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Brian, I want to talk about your career because it was, man, it was nothing short of brilliant, if I might say so. Of course, you're coming into the league, Dick Duron, in the Chicago Bears drafting you. And it seemed like the Chicago Bears had a blueprint. And what I mean by that is over the next couple of years after you playing, it's you and Lance Briggs that had formed a strong linebacking core. And, you know, unbeknownst to the league, I mean, you guys transcended the game. I mean, I believe you ran, what, a 4.5 40? Is that what you ran at the combine?
Somewhere in there. You know, it was fast enough. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but, you know, even before I got to the Bears, we've always been known for defense. You know, you look back at our history, we're a defensive football team. That's the way it's always been around here. I don't think that's going to change. Our fans love defense, and there's not a greater city to play defense than here. You know, if you want to get drafted for a good defensive team, you want to get drafted here. But, you know, Lance came in my fourth year, and we hit it off. You know, Lance is a great football player. He played great 12 years he was here. I played 10 years with him, and we were a pretty good tandem. We had Nick Roach in there for a couple of years, Hunter Hillemeyer. We had some good players alongside us as well. The guys up front don't get enough credit either. We played behind some great D linemen as well. Those guys deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, and you guys had an awesome defense. Of course, you know, Monsters of the Midway, Chicago is definitely one of those teams that you know that you're going to be in for a dogfight come Sunday or Monday when you guys play.
Yeah. That, you know, the old days, or, you know, a few years back, that's what you knew. It was going to be a physical football game no matter what. Our number one thing was try and stop the run. You know, pretty much my whole career, if you stop the run, make a team one-dimensional, you have a better chance to win a football game. And we, for the most part, we did that. You know, there's some games we didn't play great. That's just going to happen. But we were pretty solid most of the time.
Now, Brian, when did you know? I mean, of course, you know, we all grow up playing Pop Warner and, you know, have aspirations of making it to the next level. But when did you know that this was the sport that was actually right for you and that you were going to do some great things?
You know, I loved basketball when I was a kid. And even through high school, I still loved basketball. But I wasn't as good at basketball as I was at football. And I figured that out probably my junior year in high school. And I still play basketball, but I focus more on football, you know, lifting-wise and stuff like that. During basketball season, I would still lift just to try and, you know, and keep my strength up. The same way with track, I tried to center my off season around football while still playing other sports. But by my junior year is when I realized that I was better at football than I was at other sports.
Brian, what do you remember about draft day and getting that call that this was really going to happen in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty sure I was going to end up here. It was crazy. Mel Kiper projected me to come here before my senior season was over. Sometimes he knows what he's talking about. He was right. In my case, he was spot on. You know, it's just, I think the whole process, you're ready to get it over, honestly. You know, I was on the ninth pick in the first round, and it seemed like a long 2 hours before I got drafted. But it was a great day. You know, you always think as a kid you want to get drafted, and now the draft is such a spectacle now with the way they do it. It's actually in Chicago this year, which is pretty cool. But, you know, as a kid, that's what you want to do. You want to play in the NFL.
Now, post-NFL, you've done some broadcasting work. What was that transition like for you?
Brock, I wanted to try it out for a year. I thought I would like it more than I did, honestly. The travel is what got me. I did some stuff for TV and Fox. I worked with some great guys. No, the TV part of it was fun. I worked with Randy Moss, Rondé Barber, Scott Fujita, Jay Glazer. I worked with some great guys. The travel got to me last year, and I honestly want to be fully retired. So this year's been great. I took the whole year off, just played golf. I had my family, did some fishing, and traveled. I've enjoyed myself a bunch this year.
Now, Brian, you had mentioned you know, playing some golf and fishing. So what type of fishing do you do?
You know, I have a boat down in Florida, and I go out in the Gulf. I go fishing, deep-sea fishing. Didn't do it growing up. Got into it probably 2005, 2006, and I loved it. You know, you never know what you're going to catch when you're fishing out there. And you may have one fish you're reeling in, another fish eats it on the way up. So you don't know what you got into your line. It just, it makes it fun. And the best thing is my phone doesn't work when I'm out there. You know, we're 80 miles out in the Gulf. You get no cell phone reception, so it's great.
Yeah, man. So I can imagine the peace and quiet is something that you really long for, you know, especially being in that fast paced, you know, football environment for all those years.
Yeah, you know, it's nice just to get away. I love playing golf as well because it's still competitive. You know, I'm still a competitor for the most part, you know, just different ways now versus my kids and on the golf course when I can get it. But it's just nice to get out on the boat and, you know, just fish and hang out with my buddies and listen to some music and catch some fish.
Now, Brian, do you follow golf at the professional level much? We've got the U.S. Open heading here to the Northwest soon at Chambers Bay.
I watch it every weekend, man. I'm addicted to it. It doesn't matter if it's women's golf, college golf, men's golf, Champions Tour. I'm watching it. I love it.
So do you have any favorites that you liked for the U.S. Open coming up in June?
Well, how could you not pick Jordan Spieth? I think that's a pretty easy bet. I've been a Tiger Woods fan my whole career. I've always liked Tiger Woods. I know he's struggling to play good at the Masters. We'll see how he does with the Players in a couple of weeks. But I'm always a Tiger Woods fan. But I think the easy pick is Jordan Spieth for the Open. Rory's always going to be there as well.
Absolutely. Have to agree with you there, Brian. Now, in terms of a young college athlete that has aspirations to get to the next level, try to get to the NFL, what advice do you have for that player?
Stay healthy. You know, it's hard. But I think people overlook how important it is to stay healthy. I was fortunate enough in college to stay. I never missed a game in college, but it's just so hard to do. And like I said earlier on your show, just you know what's right, you know what's wrong, do what's right. You know, the last thing you need going into a professional sport is having a character issue. You don't want any reason for them not to draft you or not to be on their team.
Brian Urlacher, great words of wisdom after a very long, great NFL career. We will look forward to seeing you in Canton very soon. Thank you very much for your time and your insight tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, Brian.
There goes Brian Urlacher, of course, from Chicago, Illinois, where he spent his NFL days from 2000 until 2012.
Man, you got to like Brian, you know, taking the time out to be on the show. And you can tell through the interview, man, he is somebody that's focused all the time. And so I remember, you know, watching him on TV and looking through his face mask, and you could tell that he was laser focused, for one, to get that quarterback and make sure that the other team is tackled for a loss. And so, you know, that's Brian Urlacher, man. Some awesome stuff. So let's go out to the Chandler Reach Wineries. We have one more guest in, and that is none other than Nehemiah Wilson. How you doing today?
Pretty good, Sean. How are you?
good. Thanks for taking the time out here on the Double with the Double S Express. I am excited, man, because this is show number 100 for us. And, of course, we've been having some, you know, a couple of kinks here and there. Of course, Sean Wally is in Berlin as we speak. And so we had a little bit of technical difficulties here. But, man, we are excited. And I'm so excited because, you know, for one, for those of the listeners who don't know, Nehemiah Wilson is actually my uncle. I'm so happy to have you on here to celebrate with us here this 100th show. And, of course, you being an Oakland Raider, that makes it that much better.
Well, first of all, let me congratulate you on your 100th show. I know you're doing a great job and you will continue to do so. So for those that don't know that you are my nephew, and I want them to know that I am very proud of you.
Well, thank you, guy. I really, really appreciate that. And it's an exciting time, but let's talk about you, man. I can't say enough about how proud I am of you and the things that you have accomplished and what you've paved the way for, not just for me, but, you know, everybody in the family, as far as the due diligence on what it takes. And we just had a guest on earlier in Lorenzo Lynch, who is very similar. His story is very similar to yours as far as being undrafted and getting into the NFL.
You know, you always have that sleeper. that aspirations is to become a professional player, but he had the motivation to do so, but it makes it easier for when you have the support of a family. And I had that in my career that helped me to get where I got to in the league. And so nobody makes it alone. Everybody needs help. And when you get the right help, it's easy for you.
Now, your journey was one, as we had mentioned before, that it wasn't the path that most athletes take. And, of course, you coming out of Grambling, there was you and Willie Brown at the same time. Of course, two great athletes. And I believe the both of you started out with the Denver Broncos. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
And then, so you played a year or two with them. And then all of a sudden, Al Davis, John Madden, and the Silver and Black decided that they would bring you guys over. Kind of give our listeners what that process was like. We have a lot of Raider Nation listeners, and so I'm sure they want to know what that process was like.
Well, I was a free agent out of Grambling with the Denver Broncos. One of the assistant coaches at Grambling knew Red Miller at the time, and they talked Red Miller into inviting me to camp. And I left and went to Denver. Willie was in Denver before I got there, and, you know, like most guys that played together in school, they, you know, looked out for one another and referred other players to teams. So when I got with the Broncos and everything was a lot easier for me to get an opportunity to play because Willie had preceded me there, and he had, you know, spoke a lot of things, good words for me with the organization and everything. And then after a year, Willie was traded to Oakland. And then I was there in Denver and got, you know, the opportunity to play. And following that, a couple of years in Denver, I went into the National Guard and I came out. And, you know, I was traded to the New York Jets and ended up walking out of camp. Because it wasn't a situation that suited me. And I set out for about 30 years. And the same old story, Willie Brown was in Oakland, and he had talked to Al Davis along with Alphonse Dotson and Carlton Oates, a bunch of those guys. And I was called into Oakland to for a tryout, and the rest is history, you know.
That's the voice of Nehemiah Wilson. And Nehemiah, what was that roller coaster like for you? Life in the NFL, you go from Denver to the Jets to, wait a minute, this isn't the right situation for me. And then you're not in football for a while, and then the phone rings again.
Well, to me, you know, it was a situation where I felt that I was playing the game to be able to help myself and my family. And the job had to be one that, you know, I was happy and would be able to show what I could do. And I got, you know, that opportunity to do that and everything else like that. And there were so many people that supported me, even in my hometown, or my high school coaches and everything. So it was so many people that believed in me and pushed me to go as far as I could go. And, you know, really at the time when I was leaving Grambling, it was a situation where everybody was saying that, you know, you couldn't make it because you was too small. And to me, I wanted to see just how far I could go and everything else like that. It wasn't a thing of I didn't want to go or anything like that. It's that I felt that I could play with anybody because some of the guys that, you know, I played against and with in college, you know, there was a lot of great guys in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. and there was a lot of them at Grambling. And I felt that if I could play with them, I could play with anybody. And it turned out to be, pretty truthfully and everything else like that. And so when I got the opportunity to play and everything else like that, it wasn't a lack of confidence or anything else like that, because I always believed in myself and my family and all my friends and stuff in Baton Rouge. They all pushed me and believed in me. And it made it, you know, a lot easier road to travel.
What are some of your biggest supporters and coaches, mentors along the way? You've mentioned family was big in supporting you. What was some of those people that helped you along the way?
Well, first, you know, that was one of my high school coaches by the name of Adolph Byrd and everything. He watched me play football at lunchtime on campus and everything. And he came to me one day and he said, son, I want you to go pick up a uniform and come out for the football team. And I replied to him like, hey, you know, I don't want to play on no football team. He said, I'm just playing for fun and everything. He said, boy, he said, I want to see you at 3 o'clock to pick up a uniform. So I said, well, this man don't know what he's talking about. I'm going home. I'm not going to play no football. And I went home, and my mother said, did Coach Bird talk to you? I said, yeah, he talked to me. She said, well, didn't you go pick up the uniform? I said, no. I said, I told him I didn't have to go pick up no uniform. I wasn't playing no ball. And she said, well, he going to get you. I said, well, he got to catch me. And I dodged him for about a week, and finally one day he called me at physical ed and put a board on me. And everything. And I went and got that uniform to keep from getting it again. But he was the biggest motivator that I had and everything. And he followed me all through high school and college and the professionals. And so when I go home now, he's one of the first person that I go to see. And he meant more to me than about just about any head coach I ever had, anything else like that. He believed more in me than I did myself at the beginning and everything, and that meant a great deal, and it still does. And I go and see him every time I go home.
Nehemiah Wilson joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, and I have to add that this is my uncle as well. I'm a proud host today and having you on the show. And you know, I asked Lorenzo this and I asked Brian Urlacher as well. So I'm going to ask you this question. You know, the league has changed. The Shield has changed over the years, and you know, you start to see some things that rear its ugly head as far as what is being portrayed as the Shield. What are some of the things that you could give to some of these young athletes that are in high school and college that are looking to go to the next level as far as focus and making it?
Well, to me, the first thing of it is confidence. You have to believe in you and everything, and you have to have good support and everything else like that. And one of the most important things that a guy has to learn is how to be a team player rather than an individual player, because, you know, everybody that goes into a professional football camp have a scrapbook of their own. They were outstanding in their hometown. They all did well. They had a lot of people following them and everything. And so you have to be able to fit in and yet show your ability when the opportunity comes, and not be in half shape and everything where injuries slow you down, because when you start getting injured and everything else like that, then your days are numbered. And so you have to stay in shape as well, and you have to be mentally in tune to learning the system that you are operating in and learning it well. And you'll be okay from that point on. You know, you have to have all those things in order to become the type of player you want to be and everything like that. It's a price you have to pay, and you have to be willing to do it.
Now, I have to ask this question here, and of course you play with the Denver Broncos and the Chicago Bears, but you know, I've taken the love of the Oakland Raiders and the Raider Nation, and most of the family has embraced that as well. I got to ask you this because, you know, a lot of your former teammates are just constantly on me every week at the O.co, and they want to know, when is Nehemiah Wilson going to show his face on the sidelines, and is that going to happen?
I looked at that and I've thought about it quite a bit. And one of the things I didn't want to be was a hanger-oner. You know, I've seen so many guys that have played, and when their career was over, they didn't have anything else to do, and they just hung around looking for handouts. And I didn't want to be one of those guys and everything else that. However, I've always, you know, pulled for the Raiders and everything else like that because I spend most of my career there, and the fans are, in my opinion, the best that you can find anyway. They supported me well. They treated the whole organization well and everything else like that. I don't take the position that I don't want to be seen or I don't want to hang out with them and everything like that. If the opportunity presents itself, and everything, then, you know, I would, you know, go for it and everything like that. But, you know, I have a certain image of myself that I like to carry myself by. And I just didn't want that type of stigmatism riding me forever. I'm fortunate. I'm glad I had an opportunity to play with the organization. I have a lot of friends there and everything else like that, and I've seen quite a bit of them. As a matter of fact, Alonzo Thomas and I were real close, even after I retired from ball and everything, and I was with him a week before he died and everything else. And so, you know, it's one of those situations where it's not that you think you're better than anybody or whatever, but everybody have a code, you know, that they live by. You know, I wish them well. And when I see players and everything else like that, I, you know, like to see them. I feel that I've had the opportunity to play with some of the best players that has ever played the game. And I have had relationships with one of the guys who I think is probably one of the best receivers to ever play the game was Freddie Biletnikoff. We were really good friends, Cliff Branch, Jack, George, and of course Willie and all those guys. You know, they'll always have a place in my heart, and they will give me some good memories and everything. You're going to have good and bad memories in everything you do or everywhere you go. But I had a lot of good moments with them, and I enjoy them. And one day, we probably will. I have a high school buddy of mine that live in the Oakland area named Jimmy Patan. And, we've talked maybe two or three times a week. And we've been trying to get together where I can come out and, you know, visit him and everything like that. And so, you know, it probably will happen sooner than later.
Now, I have to mention this, of course, you know, for all of our listeners who are a part of the Raider Nation, they can go to the OaklandRaiders.com and check out the career stats. And when I look at the career interception leaders and I look at the top 15 that are on the all-time interceptions list, when I say names like Mike Haynes, Skip Thomas, Eric Allen, and it wasn't until recent that Charles Woodson passed you, but you are standing number 11 all time in Raider Nation folklore in interceptions. And you talk about a proud nephew. I mean, man, you cannot tell me anything, Unc, as far as, you know, the top DBs, and there's my uncle there in the top 15 That says a lot.
Well, John, I'm glad to hear you say those things. It means more to me than those interceptions does. And I won't sit here and say that, you know, it's no a big deal or anything else like that. But I didn't play professional football for the accolades of setting the records or anything else like that. What drew me to football most of all was that, you know, my family needed help and everything, and I did it for the help and everything. And then after a while, when I was in Oakland, I played for the fans and everything. And so whatever accolades, anything came my way, it was because of the fans that appreciated the way I played, the effort I gave, and my family. I was able to help them financially and everything else. And whatever else come with that, it's okay. But that was the thing that motivated me most.
Nehemiah, what is your favorite memory or memories of being a Raider?
The fans, outstanding. You know, every player has to play a game sometime when he doesn't really feel up to par and everything else. But it was just something about those fans in the stands in Raider Nation that really motivated every player and everything else like that. And I remember that more than anything else. The plays, the games, and everything that happened from that, I feel the fans had a lot to do with it because they motivated you. You played your heart out for them because they showed you that they appreciated the effort that you were putting forward. I can go back and I can name a lot of games or a lot of plays that I was involved in and everything else, but none of it will take the place of the way the fans treated the players out there. That's the thing I remember most.
I was waiting for Sean to ask another question. He zoned out on me. I mean, I think that one hurt him. Being from the Pacific Northwest, and of course, the Seahawks fans up there love to tout that they have such a strong fan base. But I don't think these new fans understand the greatness of the Black Hole and the Raider Nation. They hear it now. As a matter of fact, when I was talking with Lorenzo Lynch, the very first thing he talked about as far as the Golden State Warriors was how loud the crowd is, which is actually the same crowd that shows up for the Raider games. And so I've known that firsthand. I love the crowd. I love the Black Hole. I love to talk with those fans and how excited and how passionate they are about football and about the players. They know a lot about both current and past players, and they can tell you your stats more than you could. And so, yeah, you're definitely right.
Yeah, because, you know, I've been living in Denver ever since I retired. And believe it or not, there are quite a few Raider fans here, quite a few. And it was surprising to me that, you know, there were so many and everything. It's just something about the mystique of the Raiders and everything that draws people to them. And everything, and I know over the last couple of years they've had some hard times, but they got people all over the country waiting for them to come back into prominence.
Well, I'm looking forward to that happening this upcoming year, and I'm believing that Reggie McKenzie's going to do the right thing, and he's making the right decisions, and I think it's great for football that the Oakland Raiders will have some success, and only time will tell if that'll happen. But hey, Uncle,
it'll happen.
You know, I thank you for taking the time out to be here on the double, and this is definitely a treat here. So we appreciate you for coming on, and you know, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome to call into the show or whatever. We'll welcome you with open arms. Thanks again, Uncle.
Thank you for having me, and congratulations, and may you have many more hundreds of shows.
Pleasure talking to you, Nehemiah. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
There goes Nehemiah Wilson, my uncle, and a Raider great, man. And Sean Wally, you asked me about 20 minutes ago what was my favorite show. And, man, I got to tell you right now, it's got to be this one, man. It has got to be this one. Show number 100. Getting the chance to talk to great guests. Guest number one, of course, Lorenzo Lynch, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals, Chicago Bears, and the Oakland Raiders. And of course, we had Brian Urlacher on, Chicago Bear extraordinaire. And, of course, my uncle, Nehemiah Wilson, former Bronco, Chicago Bear, and Oakland Raider, and a brief stint with the Jets. Man, this has been an awesome show, Sean Wally.
Great show to have the week of the NFL draft as well.
Yeah, you know, Brian was mentioning that it's not in Radio City this year. It's in Chicago. So, of course, for the fan in us, it's going to be exciting. It doesn't matter where it's at. It could be in, you know, slip on a rock, Carolina. But, you know, as long as the draft is going on, and, you know, I'm looking forward to that on Thursday.
Which direction do you think your Raiders will go, since they are the one team out of the two we heavily follow that have a first-round pick?
You know, there are a lot of murmurs going on that the Raiders might trade that pick. But if they don't trade the pick and they stay at number four, I think that it's a no-brainer that they pick Amari Cooper. There needs to be a wide receiver that is a playmaker that Derek Carr would need moving forward. And I think that he's the right fit. You know, from what everybody's saying, he is NFL ready, whatever that means. But what, to me, that means that, you know, out of all the players that they've evaluated, this guy is the one that's a plug and play, if you will. And so I look forward to, if the Raiders do keep that number four pick, they pick Amari Cooper.
NFL draft, a big spectacle, a great thing for Chicago and the NFL fans in that city, getting to get a taste of NFL draft life. And it'll be a fun weekend for the NFL fan all over the country. Who will your team pick? Find out this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Sean Boyd, I just want to congratulate you on 100 shows. Thank you for the time, the effort, the great job that you have done from show one to show 100. I mean, think about it. Setting things up in your studio, making things happen in the 253. Let's not forget shows in Hawaii. So, man, you're doing great things, and you carried the show for the first half, and love you, brother.
Hey, man, thank you very much, man. This is a team effort, of course, and you know, we won't do this to our listeners. We won't make this a soft and touchy type of a thing. You know, we know that we're going to do another 100. And if it's not here, if it's not, you know, on BBS Radio, Don, we're going to pull you with us. And we're going to, whether it's Fox, ESPN, you name it, we've got some aspirations on getting to the next level as well. And so I'm excited, man. I'm excited about you know about the things that we're doing. I'm excited about the doors that are opening. And so we just got to keep plugging away, my friend.
Sounds like a great plan and an awesome show for show 100. Three great guests. Just amazing, the insight and the names that we bring to the table. We hope you enjoy it, the fan, the listener. And Sean, you started the show. I'll let you finish it.
Well, thank you all for being a part of here on the Double with the Double S Express. Guest number one, Lorenzo Lynch. And, of course, we had guest number two, Brian Urlacher. And, of course, Nehemiah Wilson. All NFL players, all giving us the words of wisdom. And as Sean Wally, you said, with draft day upon us this week, you have a plethora of knowledge. Give us a call, or actually send us an email. You can email me at Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-S-Express.com, or you can email Sean Wally at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at double-S-Express.com. If you want to listen to some of our past shows, you can go on to Stitcher Radio and on iTunes, as well as bbsradio.com/DSX. I believe I've covered all of them. Don, I need you to cue that music for me one more time. This is show number 100. And listeners and fans, we thank you all for your support. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd, Don Newsom, the engineer. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
A celebration.